لا إله إلا الله.
لله الحمد لله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله أحمده واستعينه واستهديه واستغفره. أشهد لا إله إلا الله لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على كل المسلمين محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise is due to Allah. I praise Him, I seek His assistance, I seek His guidance, and I ask for His forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. All praise due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings on the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayah, this day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessings and my favor upon you and chose Al-Islam as your way of life. All praise due to Allah who united the hearts of the believers with Al-Islam and has made it an obligation to remain united and has made it forbidden to become separated in His clear book. I advise you as well as I advise myself first to have regard, consciousness, awareness, taqwa for Allah the Most High and obey Him. Dear Muslim believers, again I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Juma Mubarak. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Wa laqad jinnahum bil kitabin fassanahu ala ilmin huddan wa rahmatan li qawmin yawminun. Say Salakallah with Deen. The expression is as follows. Again, the book does not pretty much say it goes with what I have, so I'm going to read it here. It says, for we seek refuge of Allah against the rejected shaitan, for we had certainly sent unto them a book based on knowledge, which we explained in detail, a guide and a mercy to all who believe. It's not too far off, because the one I had in my notes is, and we had certainly brought them a book which we detailed by knowledge as a guidance and a mercy to a people who believe. We say, surely Allah speaks the truth, Salak Allah with Deen. It is the 52nd ayat of the 7th surah of the Quran, and today's kutbah title, inshallah, knowledge as guidance and mercy. Knowledge as guidance and mercy. Some reported hadiths, one from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He reported the Messenger of Allah, the prayers and peace be upon him, was saying, seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. Seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, he is reported that Muhammad the Prophet is to have said, whoever travels a path in search of knowledge, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. People do not gather in the houses of Allah reciting the book of Allah and studying it together, but that tranquility will descend upon them. Mercy will cover them. The angels will surround them, and Allah will mention them to those near him. And another reporting from Anas ibn Malik, he reported that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, Whoever goes out seeking knowledge is in the way of Allah until he returns. Again, we say Alhamdulillah. We begin anything and everything with praise and thanks for Allah, to Allah. Highly glorified is He. And I'm thankful to be back on the roster. We had to change the schedule last week. But I look forward to bringing my cup by the day, inshallah. And when we go back and think about the month of Ramadan, which ended a few weeks ago, the goals of the results, the future that comes out of when Ramadan ends, while we're in it and when it ends, have not ended. We celebrated during the month that it is the month of revelation. And I bring this up because it is what I like to think of as the original, the official release date of the Quran, so to speak. But the idea that it is not the only time that it will be revealed, it is not the only time that it will be revealed. We know that Allah will continue to reveal this Quran until it is the time of answering in the final judgment, and the horn shall be blown. So not trying to revisit some things, but in retrospect, I'm seeking, with Allah's guidance, of course, with Allah's help, of course, to lay out what my thoughts are on this subject we have today, which is something I actually wanted to bring way back in March. This was actually something that I had began making notes on back in March, but I had other guidance and I had some other directions that I ended up going. But Allah is the best knower, because He says, because it's still on my mind, and I definitely see why Allah says that, and remind, for indeed, reminder benefits the believers. We need to be reminded because it is a benefit to us in our way of life. It's a benefit for us in our way of life. Anytime we think about what Allah has done for us, what Allah has given us. And again, if we are to be reminded, what is the best way to remind us? Yes, we have khutbas, we have talims, we have study sessions, we have classes. And yes, we have the salat. Each salat, whether fard or which is obligatory, or the extra to the salats that we can make, are to remind us. And all of these are to be used to remind us. But what is the foundation of all of them? What is the foundation of all of those reminders? What do they all have in common? The Quran. All of them have the Quran, the revelation. Allah says to us, and we had certainly brought them a book. When Allah says, walakit, right? Looking at the grammar, understand this. This is to be emphasized. This is no meek. It's not a meek word, so to speak. It is a particle of certainty. This means that it's with firm conviction that this is the case. When the creator of it all says something, there should be no doubt from where we stand inside of our souls. This is an emphatic prefix. It is expressing something forcefully and clearly, and connected to what comes with it. It's connected to what comes with it. A prefix, particles always have something it's connected to, and that's jinahum. And this is telling us without any doubts, not jinahum doesn't mean that, but I'm saying the connection is without any doubts. And it says we have certainly brought them. We, so look at we, right? Again, this has to be given to the angel Jibril. When we think of the we, Allah says we have to think of the angel Jibril, alayhi salam, who, as Allah says about his angels, they never fail to do what they are commanded to do. This is an important side note. Angels always do what they're told to do by God. Period. This is why when the announcement of the creation of Adam, this is something that we read today, in the reading today, and I'm going to say something a little bit later about that, but we read every Friday morning on the call. We call in and we read sort of the cuff at the Fajr every Friday. And in the reading today, it talks about when Allah announced, made the announcement of the creation of Adam was made, and he told the angels, were told to submit, right? Submit to Allah's will, that what will that's going to be, right? See, it wasn't done yet. It wasn't done yet. This is when he has created this, he's Allah sort of forecasting something, right? What's going to be done. And when he has created the special creature, then you fall down in prostration, not to the creature, but to what my will is. Allah speaking. All of the angels did that. All of the angels did that. Except there was a jinn in the presence. And we don't know if there was other jinns. But there was one particular jinn that decided not to do it. Right? Not an angel. A jinn. The obedience that the angels have cannot let them even think about disobeying Allah. Right? And for us, as that creation that makes us higher than an angel, we have to understand that. When we say, oh, we want to have an angelic nature, that's fine, but we're supposed to be higher than the angels. And I tell you why. Because if we elevate ourselves, we could be higher than the angels. You know, we elevate ourselves, right? Our nefs. It's our choice to be that obedient, which means that we have did exactly what is necessary to gain that level of assurance in our soul. If we excel in our free with our free will in the right way, then we can have the obedience of an angel and still have control over our jinn. Can we see how Allah is telling us that inside of that narrative right there? That the obedience is the obedience that I want is out as an angel, and the disobedience that I don't want is as a jinn. This is a side note, but it's important. And Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gained control over his jinn. So that brings it full circle for us, inshallah. So back on the road. That was an important pit stop, but back on the road. By the angel Jibril doing what he was commanded to do, then we see that the first surety of what Allah is telling us. When he says we have sent down, then you know that it was done. Because it was an angel that he told to do something. All right? Allah is telling that we have certainly fulfilled our obligation of bringing down the arrival of, the coming of a book. Not just any book. Not just any book. We're discussing the Quran here. How can the word of God be just any book? Understand this. Even though what was going on in with the purification process of the original nation of Islam under the leadership of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, forgive him his sin, forgive him his shortcomings. Not sins, but shortcomings. He not only urged the members, he directed. He gave clear instructions that you are to raise the Quran high in your houses, right? Yes, physically. But most importantly, he was trying to tell you spiritually the Quran should be raised above everything else. See, this is not the joys of cooking, right? And I looked up the top-selling books of all time. Shake Google comes in handy sometimes. I looked up the top-selling books of all time, and on the list I looked at based on copies sold, and I looked on a bunch of different lists, there was not one revealed book of scripture on these lists. Not one. But understand what I'm trying to say. Why is the words of God not important enough to be on these lists? Because the world has not understood the importance of these words. They've neglected the importance of these words. They've ignored it. This book, all the books, God did not just send us a paperweight. There was something in the design of these books. When Allah sent to us, humanity, all of mankind, a book, there is a reason. He said, as guidance and mercy. Right? Hudan wa rahmatan. right? Guidance and mercy. Guidance. Imam Muhammad, right? He said, this guidance is not just any guidance. It is the guidance from God. He said, it is a guidance that is only for those who respect and reverence God. Taqwa. And follow the path he has established. See, Allah is Al-Hadi, the guide, the best of guides. And this book is for guidance. A guide is to get you where you want to go, right? Well, Allah has given us something that will do just that. We have said, you know, quite a bit over the last few months, especially the last few months, of how this is also a mercy. This revelation, what God has done for the believers, is a mercy. The Quran is a mercy from one who is the most merciful benefactor, the most merciful redeemer. It was revealed as a mercy. Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, was sent with it as a mercy. Because it is a mercy, it means it is compassion. It means it is forgiveness. Right? Mercy is what is shown towards someone whom is within one's power to punish or harm them. God is not harming us or punishing us if we use it how it needs to be used. Believe in how it is to be supposed to be believed in. When we look at it, also in the Quranic Arabic, this mercy, rahima, in the root, right, is love. When your parents, both of them, your mother or your father, give you some advice, it is done in love. When we as parents or uncles or even friends give advice, we're giving it out of love. Right? It's done out of compassion. Allah has decided to guide us and say to us, because it says in this ayah, as guidance and mercy to a people who believe. It's a guidance. It's out of love. It's out of my compassion. To a people who believe, who are firm in that belief, who are secure in that belief, who believe what I am giving them is up for their benefit. Who believe in what has been revealed to this prophet. Ain't that what Allah says in the Quran? The believers who believe in this prophet and what is revealed to him. When there is love involved, what do we look for? Do we look for mixed feelings and uncertainty? No. We look for strong feelings. We look for conviction. Think about that first love you ever had. And how it made you feel, and how it made you, you know, you couldn't, it didn't matter how much sleep you got. It was a feeling there. You knew something was different, because you ain't never felt this way before. That's what we have when we think of this type of love. We don't want wishy-washy love, right? We want to know this love is real. This is what this Rahima is. You know, when the fetus is in the womb, it feels something that makes it connect to the mother, right? That's love. The baby is right next to the heart. Every beat of the heart, the baby feels, the baby hears, and I'm talking about that. The connection to the mother inside the womb, that's love. The mercy Allah is showing us is that type of mercy. Where if we get into the Quran, like we should, then we become just like that fetus inside of the mother. But the biggest obstacle is the belief in all of this where it needs to be. Do we believe without any doubt, with the certainty that the one who has who we cannot grasp, right? We cannot grasp Allah with our sight, with our thoughts. Could be so merciful that he wanted to guide us and give us the best GPS roadmap, AAA roadmap. You said to call them up, tell them where you're going, they send you a roadmap, all that stuff. This is the best one. The directions we can have is what Allah has given us. This goes to the taqwa that the Imam has mentioned. That we reverence it so much. We know what he's done for us. That nothing else can give us that direction. Nothing else can give us that guidance. It is the only guidance we have if we have the correct amount of respect and the correct amount of reverence, right? So we think of an equation. And that equation is 100% respect for God over 100% reverence for God, and it equals to 100% belief, which will bring 100% guidance and 100% mercy. On the path that leads to what? Right? And I'll get into that second part. But let me say this. And I've gone from the beginning, then towards the end, and then now, inshallah, as I go into the second part, I'll be in the middle of the ayah. It's a journey. It's guidance. Allah's guiding. Allah's guiding me. He's guiding us. And for us to gain the exact understanding of what Allah wants, my goal in the subject means that the movement may be a little bit different. I normally go from the top to the bottom. That's what I've normally done in the past, but the destination is still the same. Inshallah, the results will be too. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Oh Allah, give us goodness in life and give us goodness hereafter. Protect us from torment of the fire. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Knowledge as guidance and mercy. So we have, and we had certainly brought them a book which we detail by knowledge as guidance and mercy to a people who believe. Now, I mentioned that we must look at the Quran, that we must look at the Quran, the revealing of the Quran, as Allah has told us to understand it, right? We have to look at it. It is a guidance and a mercy. We have to look at it like that. It is a mercy that we can see as a womb of development. Because inside Rahima is the meaning of womb, alright? I know that sometimes, you know, people, you know, there's some thoughts of how can he say this? What does he mean by this? What makes him think that? Right? I also get a disclaimer that these are my thoughts. These are my thoughts. Based on what I believe is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance of Allah, the mercy of Allah, and I follow the logic to the conclusion, inshallah. And when we are inside of a womb of our mothers, do we develop? That's our first development. Right there. That's a sign. Do we mature? I bring this up again because when we look at this word for knowledge in the ayat, it's ilmin, right? It is knowledge. It is information. What has to be connected is to the fact that the ilmin is connected to guidance and mercy for those who believe in it. Listen, when the Lord of all systems of knowledge says he has sent to his creation a book that is fasal nahu, detailed, elaborated, based on, expounded with nothing but knowledge from Allah, God himself. That is to be used as a guidance, and it is a mercy from him for those who believe in it. When we are inside of the womb, let us look at that sign. First, we know that inside of the womb, we develop physically. Our brains, our spinal cords, our bodies, everything develops physically. Other features develop. But if we look at it from the abstract sense, or from the five senses sense, we develop as well. So hearing is the most developed of all the five senses while inside the womb. All right? As a fetus grows inside of the mother's womb, it can hear sounds from the outside world. It can understand them well enough to retain memories of them after birth, according to research. Also, sensory and brain mechanisms for hearing are developed at 30 weeks. And a new study shows that unborn babies are listening to their mother's talk during the last 10 weeks of pregnancy.
And then they come out and they say, get out my mouth, right? But that's why they're in your mouth. And when they listen to the mother's talk for the last 10 weeks of pregnancy and at birth can demonstrate what they've heard. Starting in the 7th month of pregnancy, the baby is not just able to detect sounds both inside and outside the womb. They can also react to what they hear. How many, let's think about it. How many can remember that when the fetus, the mothers or fathers or whoever you are, remember that the baby is just quiet. And as soon as the dad, the brother, the sister, somebody walks in the room and starts talking, all of a sudden the baby then kicked, the baby's stretching, the baby's wide awake. Because they know the voice, they know the sound. The only thing is that they're still inside. If it's repeated to us enough, often enough, we form a memory of it. Think of the Quran. We're talking about the Quran. Yeah, I'm using this analogy. But none of us physically going back into the womb. But all of us can go into the Quran. If we can form a memory of it, which is activated when we hear the sound again, this memory speeds up recognition of sounds in the learner's native language. Right? And it can be detected as a pattern of brain waves, even in a sleeping baby. So subconsciously, even in our subconscious minds, we can learn. Our minds are designed to be able to learn even when we don't realize we're learning something. This is science. This is all this is. And it goes back to us being inside of the womb. Now let's take the Quran. And if the Quran is being studied, if the Quran is being read, if the Quran is being listened to, what will we get? We will get all the necessary knowledge, all the necessary information, all the necessary science. This word, like I said, it means science. When Allah says, and he taught Adam all the names, taught us the science of things, the meaning of things. All science does is break down what is inside of something. That's all science does. He taught us what is inside of the world we're in. For us to be guided. Guided where? On the path. What path? And in the opening, I used a few reported hadiths. The first one, and let me say this, is that we are Muslims. And we are trying with all our efforts to be believers. Right? And the ayah says, yu'minuna, and it comes from amina, it as the root, but it's in the fourth form, meaning there has to be a reason for this type of belief, this type of faith. We have got to get to a place that we are so secure enough to know that what we are. So with this being said, it means those who believe. When the prophet, the prayers and peace be upon him, says that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim. It is an obligation on all of us who say we believe. Where do we go to seek this knowledge? Yes, we go to the whole of the creation. We go to all the signs we can recognize. But we have to have, and it is right here in this ayat, but we have right here in this ayat, there is a book that has elaborated detail with all the knowledge we need. Right? Not just any knowledge. Right? And again, in today's reading, Moses, alayhi salam, Musa, alayhi salam, and the wise man. That's a story for us to understand. How do we obtain knowledge? We have to realize that we're going to get knowledge that we can't break down yet. We can't see yet. That's why you have to be patient. That's what Allah is telling us every Friday. This fasalnahu ala ilmin. This has been given something that will set apart from anything else we can learn from. Seeing the trees change during the season is only to be fully understood when Allah has explained how he brings the dead back to life. And he does that in scripture. But for us to know the science of it, we have to realize that something is behind it. Allah has given the Quran exactly what we need to use as guidance. He has intended for us to reach our destiny. Allah tells us that in this book that has been sent, it is filled with the knowledge that will guide us to that path. What path? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever travels a path in search of knowledge will make easy for him a path to paradise. Make sure I didn't hang up. This path is the path to paradise. And we know that the shaitan will be waiting on that path. Right? This is why also the Prophet is reported to have said, leave that which makes you doubt for what does not make you doubt. Verily, truth brings peace of mind and falsehood spreads doubt. Inside the Quran is knowledge to recognize what we should try to understand. Also, what we should try to avoid. The wrong knowledge is what Allah is telling us to be careful of, because he has the right knowledge for us. The Imam also said this. He said, God extends, connects, expands everything upon knowledge and mercy. Everything created has knowledge to offer you, and everything created has a mercy to offer you. If we want to have peace of mind that the knowledge that Allah has distinguished from any other knowledge that is for us, we have to have the Quran. We have to be in the Quran. It is knowledge we can gain in the womb of mercy of the Quran. And back to the womb, I touched on the first sense, the most developed sense is hearing. But touch is the first sense that's actually formed. The most developed is hearing, but the first sense that's formed is touch at about 8 weeks. Then our sight. And there are researchers who have studied that inside of the womb, the baby can recognize, they use infrared dots in the shape of a face. And they're saying that babies can recognize a face because of the brain waves. And I mentioned hearing. So the sense and taste and smell. We're talking about five senses. Remember, we're talking about five senses. The sense of taste and smell, right? Some flavors such as vanilla, carrots, garlic, mint have been shown to be transmitted inside of the fluid, right? The amniotic fluid, which babies live in and drink several times a day. And researchers gave pregnant women both garlic and sugar capsules before taking a sample of their fluids. The samples were smelled by some panel members, blindfolded panel members, and they could easily determine which one came from the woman who ate the garlic. They knew right then and there, because they could smell it inside of the fluid, providing indirect evidence that the babies are experiencing these cells. Now, okay, that sounds far-fetched, but now you ask a sister, when she ate something, And that baby did not agree with it. That stuff, all of a sudden, they had, I know hair gets heartburn, but that baby kicked that baby, and what did the sister say? I'm not eating that no more. I'm not drinking that no more. That don't agree. I love it, but they don't. Because they have senses. When we look at these from the abstract, those smells and tastes, look at it as the correct knowledge. When it was the sugar, ain't it say nothing, right? But when it was the garlic, and this had nothing to do with what's better for you. I know what's better for you, but it's abstract. If it tastes good, it's the correct knowledge. If it tastes bad, it's incorrect knowledge. Right? This is what the Imam Muhammad has taught us. He said, correct knowledge gives birth to right-minded people. And he said, incorrect knowledge gives birth to wrong-minded people. This is important, knowing that where we get our knowledge from, who we get our knowledge from, why are we getting it from them. We should always ask first, we should always look first at the Quran. And we should also look first at the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we have become seekers of knowledge, right? The right knowledge, the correct knowledge, we have to seek it from the cradle to the grave. Right? Let me say that again. The Prophet, the present, peace be upon him, is reported to have said, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. And he also is reported to have said, and even go to China if you need to. That means he traveled the world. And sometimes you don't even have to leave your house to travel the world for knowledge now. Allahu Akbar. And over the last year and a half, ain't nobody been able to travel anyway. Inshallah, I've shown that We are already gaining knowledge when we are in the womb. That's a sign for us. And where do we go when we come out of the womb? The cradle, right? We go into the cradle, right? The cradle of innovation, the cradle of business, the cradle of the world. This cradle is where we can live, develop. And in this cradle, we can develop in business, education, government, cultural life, right? The four birds. To fully fulfill those, we have to have the knowledge that is conducive for it. This is the Quran. This is the Quran. We must decide, what do we want to be? Seekers of the right knowledge or the wrong knowledge? And the reason why I say that is because, and I'll end with this, the report, another report of Muhammad, the Prophet be upon him, he has said that the seekers of two are never satisfied. The seekers of knowledge and the seekers of the world. They're never satisfied. Those who want correct knowledge and those who want incorrect knowledge, they're never satisfied. Also, he said, whoever goes out seeking knowledge is in the way of Allah until he returns. Let us really make some efforts to gain the knowledge that Allah has for us. Let us stop now believing. Stop believing that you can't learn anymore. Stop it. If you believe in Allah, then you have to believe that you're going to learn even as you transition, because you're going to learn something there. We all don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to learn something even then. If you're here today, breathing, you can learn. Have you done anything to learn today? That's what we have to ask ourselves. When we lay down at night, we have to say to ourselves, what did I try to learn today? Did I read more of the Quran to try to learn something? You can read one ayat and think about one ayat all day. Write down what you're thinking about this ayat. You can study the ayat. You can do one ayat a day. I suggest you do more. But I'm just saying, take one ayat. Let me hurry up. I'm almost done. I ain't got but a couple lines left, so. Learning helps your body. Learning helps your brain. Learning will heal you. Learning in the Quran will heal you. This is what we're supposed to want in our way of life. Al-Islam. The Quran, the words of the Quran will heal you. And I'm going to say, I'm going to stay pushing us to work harder. I'm going to stay on that. We have to work harder for our own knowledge. I'm obligated to push you all and push myself. And when I announce that we'll be starting up some classes, or we're going to start back up with the Talim or whatever it is, I need to see everybody joining something. You ain't got to join everything, but you need to be joining something. And if you're not joining something, and I'm just asking, because I'll look for help in some of these classes. So if you're not joining, then you must be on the side of trying to help teach them. That's the way I look at it. But you got to be doing something. I don't want to teach everything. It's not about me. It's about us. And if you want to help teach, you are pleasing Allah, right? This is me. Now, it's not me saying that. Listen to this. The Prophet said that the best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. But he also said this too. Whoever is asked for knowledge and he conceals it, Allah will clothe them with a bridle of fire on the day of resurrection. And I'll leave it right there. Allahu Akbar. Knowledge as guidance and mercy. May Allah give us knowledge that would be useful to us, make useful knowledge that he has taught us. Ameen. And inshallah, have gifts on the benefit of the day, which all praise due to Allah. And may he be pleased in our effort. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka as-sami'u al-'alim. O Allah, O our sustainer, accept thou from us, for verily thou art alone, the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Ameen.